nation a song. A tribe's gold, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation. A tribe's gold, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The fatal delusion of trusting political salvation. This is an article I've been reading by Robert McCurry, and my, what a collection of information on the erosion of our religious freedoms and the erosion of the blessing of freedom of speech that is our constitutional right. In keeping with modern American universalism, President Bush has welcomed American Muslims and ambassadors from Islamic nations to a Ramadan dinner at the White House during their holy month. Muslims break their daylight fast with a dinner after dark. Bush has adopted the custom and told his guests that, quote, America honors your faith, unquote, which, quote, traces its origins back to God's call on Abraham. Oh, that makes me sick just hearing about that. The president politely added that Americans share the Muslim belief in God's justice and man's moral responsibility, and also emphasized that the United States' war on terrorism is not on a religion and not on a civilization. Wake up. Wake up, America. Wake up, Bible-believing Christians. Wake up, people. We are in trouble. If the President of the United States can legitimize the Muslim religion as something good for our society and a good religion, then he has been deceived. It is so sad, even during World War II, the same rhetoric was mentioned. There are a number of books and research papers and other items that were even documentaries that were given out to the military during World War II, declaring how that America was built on Christianity, Judaism, and the Muslim religion. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That is not true. This country was built on the Bible. It is a Christian country based on Christian principles. Yes, you have the freedom to worship the way you please. But the basis of our country, the foundation of our country, the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution is all based on our forefathers' faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody knows a little history, anybody that has read any of the historical writings of our forefathers can attest to that fact. Republican Party is pro-tax and pro-control of America's churches. The federal law requiring churches to pay taxes is a Republican brainchild. Legislation requiring churches to pay taxes was passed by Congress and signed into law by Republican President Ronald Reagan in 1983. In 1984, Congress amended the law to exempt churches from paying Social Security taxes on their employees. It provided churches file an exemption from form, rather, with the Internal Revenue Service within a prescribed time, stating they are opposed for religious reasons to the payment of the tax. It is an age-old axiom that the power to tax is the power to control and destroy. In this instance, however, the power to control and destroy extends far beyond that of imposing a tax. It also embraces the power to grant a so-called privilege of tax exceptions. If government has the power to grant a privilege, it likewise has the power to control and revoke that privilege at any time. Interestingly, Judge Sarah Evans Barker, 1984 Reagan appointee, was the presiding judge in the Internal Revenue Service civil action against the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, which the IRS alleged that the church had failed to pay its pro rata share of Social Security taxes and to collect and remit income taxes on its ministers. Subsequent IRS audits on the ministers verified that every individual had paid their taxes in full and had no liability. Nevertheless, Republican Judge Sarah Evans Barker ruled against the church and ordered church properties valued in excess of $6 million seized by federal marshals. These seized properties were subsequently sold for a fraction of the real estate's appraised value, and its buildings were bulldozed. Can you believe that happening in the United States of America? Our forefathers would turn over in a grave, metaphorically speaking, if they knew what was going on. That our government would come to the place of taxing and requiring the churches to be taxed. Who ever heard of such an absurd thing? And whoever heard of even those who worked for the churches, and whoever heard of such unbelievable things? Well, it's happening today. It sure is. And all you ever hear, we want separation church from state. Well, if they want separation, why are they then requiring the churches to pay taxes? Now, if that's what they want, and that's part of our Constitution, we'll give them the tax, let them have render unto Caesar things of the Caesar. But our Constitution does not allow churches to be taxed. This is incomprehensible. This is unbelievable. It is important to note that the seizure and sale of church of a church for allegedly failing to pay taxes did not take place under the Democrat Clinton administration. It took place under George W. Bush Republican administration. It is also important to note that Attorney General John Ashcroft and the George W. Bush White House gladly welcomed and met with homosexuals to discuss the perverse and militant homosexual agenda. But they refused to meet with pastors to discuss their concerns about government seizure and sale of church properties. Remember, what government can do to one pastor and church, it can and eventually will do to every pastor and church and other religious institutions. Yes, indeed. Wake up, pastors, wake up. Bible-believing Christians, wake up, America. Hey, wake up. Do you see what's happening? And I'll tell you why I'm so concerned about this. Because as our rights erode, then our freedom of speech will diminish. And the ability to contend for the faith publicly over the airwaves and to verbally support the nation of Israel over the airwaves will be taken away unless we stand up for our rights. Birds of a feather really do flock together. Just recently, President Bush lauded Martin Luther King Jr. He contends that King brought much good into the world. He further said, America is a better place because he, King, was here and we will honor his name forever. Bush then announced that the Department of Education will establish the Martin Luther King Jr. Scholars Program to promising students across America. Is America a better place because MLK was here? King admitted to numerous adulterous affairs. Like Bill Clinton, King was a philanderer. King plagiarized his PhD thesis at Boston University. King's intimacy with communists and Marxists cannot be denied. But our president wants to keep King's fire burning. Well, just for the record, so that you understand that it's unbelievable that we could give so much credence to a fellow like Martin Luther King when there have been a number of black leaders in our country who are well worthy of recognition. And I, especially being a Jew, am against slavery, have always been against slavery, the oppression of the people. That's against our Constitution, folks. And just because I would not condone or endorse Martin Luther King as a good representative of black America does not mean I don't love black people. I love them. I reach them. And I want them to come to know Christ just like anybody else. But don't you see that even the liberals have used the black race card as a means for them to undermine America and its foundation? And not only has the liberals been using the race card, but sad to say, even the conservative and the Republican Party. We don't have to go to that extent to make our point. I'm against bigotry. I'm against racism. I'm against all that. God tells us very clearly he's not a respecter of persons. How can a person like me preach against anti-Semitism and be for bigotry? But whether the fella is white, black, Chinese, Jewish, or whatever he is, I'd say the same thing of him if he committed numerous adulterous affairs, if he plagiarized his PhD, if he had an intimacy with communists and Marxists, I would say the same thing about them no matter what their color is. The truth stands. And there are a lot of other historical figures that we could raise up as godly examples for every ethnic group in America. That's exactly right. If you've been on this, if you've been a listener to this broadcast, Hope Israel Baptist broadcast, for a little time, you know that I shoot straight and I say it how it is and I do it. I believe I speak the truth in love. And even when my own people, the Jewish people, have many of them have endorsed a Palestinian state, seem to be against the well-being of the nation of Israel, I'll expose them to, and I have exposed them. Folks, we got to have the truth. We got to have the truth proclaimed here. I can name you over 10 black preachers who love God, live clean, preach the word of God, would have nothing to do with this garbage, wouldn't even endorse Martin Luther King, would recognize that he's a poor example or a poor leader for black America to follow as a leader. And what's happening in these last days is our country is getting more and more liberal. Those who claim to be conservative are actually liberal in their deeds. And this is going to only get worse. Now the article continues, another strange hero of President Bush is Senator Ted Kennedy. Bush recently said to Kennedy, "Mr. Senator, not only are you a good senator, you're a good man." Bush also said, "I've come to admire him," referring to Kennedy. Ted Kennedy, a good man? First of all, let me just say something, that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says, folks. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before a holy God. Does anyone remember the name Mary Jo? She was a young campaign worker. Kennedy, after a night of drunken rivalry, left in the back seat of his Oldsmobile 88 to drown as the car sank. Any other person would have been charged with murder and put in prison. How can President Bush say he admires such a man? I doubt that the president would feel the same way if the victim had been one of his daughters. Kennedy's record in the U.S. Senate reveals that he is one of the most liberal senators the country has ever had. His record on abortion, gay rights, gun control, big government spending, etc., is socialistic and liberal in the very worst sense of the word. How can Bush say that Kennedy is all right? How can he extend a presidential praise upon such a man? America has produced many genuine heroes. However, King and Kennedy are not among them. And the president is wrong to pretend that they are. This documented by Chuck Baldwin. I continue to read this article by Robert McCurry on the disaster, the delusion of looking to our government for salvation, political salvation. We see so much double talk, duplicity, hypocrisy in government. Where are the absolutes? Where are the old timers who had conviction and integrity? Again, let me state that I thank God for our President Bush. I thank God for him. He's doing a lot better than the prior president of our country. But still, he's playing the old political game. And he's undermining our foundation of this country. We need to pray for him. Loss of liberties. Look at the liberties we have lost since George W. Bush became president. Associated Press today, during the time this article was written, some of the fundamental changes to Americans' legal rights by the Bush administration and the USA Patriot Act following the terror attacks include freedom of association. Government may monitor religious and political institutions without suspecting criminal activity to assist terror investigation. Freedom of information. Government has closed once public immigration hearings, has secretly detained hundreds of people without charges, and has encouraged bureaucrats to resist public records requests. Freedom of speech. Government may prosecute librarians or keepers of any other records if they tell anyone that the government subpoenaed information related to a terror investigation. Right to legal representation. Government may monitor federal prison jailhouse conversations between attorneys and clients and deny lawyers to Americans accused of crimes. Freedom from unreasonable searches. Government may search and seize Americans' papers and effects without probable cause to assist terror investigation. Right to a speedy and public trial. Government may jail Americans indefinitely without a trial. Right to liberty. Americans may be jailed without being charged or being able to confront witnesses against them. Because of the broad support of conservatives and so-called Christians, Bush has been able to do what Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and Janet Reno failed to accomplish. Dismantle our Constitution and stolen our God-given liberties. One of the most disturbing things about this is the apathy and indifference of the American people concerning these abridgments of our freedom. Oklahoma City, Associated Press, 4 in 5 Americans would give up some freedoms to gain security, and 4 in 10 worry terrorists will harm them or their family, a new Gallup poll shows. About 1/3 of those polled favor making it easier for authorities to access private email and telephone conversations. More than 70% are in favor of requiring U.S. citizens to carry identification cards with fingerprints, and 77% believe all Americans should have smallpox vaccinations. It was amazing the percentage of people who are willing to give up freedom to get back some sense of personal security, said Elaine Christensen, Senior Research Director for the Gallup Organization. These aren't people who were necessarily near the Twin Towers, near the Pentagon, near the Murrah Building. These are average people. Wake up, pastors. Wake up, Bible-believing Christians. Wake up, America. Ashcroft meets with homosexuals. On February 25, 2001, Attorney General John Ashcroft met with leaders of the Log Cabin Republicans, the nation's largest gay and lesbian Republican organization. An Ashcroft spokeswoman described the meeting between the Attorney General and the Log Cabin Republicans as a courtesy call during which Ashcroft reiterated his commitment to upholding civil rights laws for all Americans. Ashcroft also thanked the group which supported him during the nomination process. Joe Clover, director of the Family Policy Network, said there was no excuse for John Ashcroft to meet with any group that promotes deadly behavior, but especially one that is so adamantly opposed to everything he's supposed to represent. What kind of impact does it have on children when an icon who's supposed to be a great Christian statesman meets with and therefore gives legitimacy to organizations that are formed for only one purpose, to create a comfortable climate in our culture for people who engage in same-sex sex acts? Polls show that homosexual advocacy groups and their allies are having considerable impacts on elections. Since 1992, about 33% of people who identify as homosexual have voted Republican in every election. Homosexuals make up 5% of the total vote, or about the same as the Hispanic voting bloc. This, according to Lawrence Morahan, CNS senior staff writer, CNS News. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I'm reading to you out there in our listening audience? Do you see what is happening to the liberties of our United States of America? Do you see that the moral fabric of our society is eroding at a lightning speed, and that there is no stopping it unless we as Americans repent, that is, forsake our wicked way and call upon the God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and beg for his mercy and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ and cleanse our land of all this filthiness. I'm telling you folks, if we don't do something about this, we will not have freedoms any longer. We will be controlled by a bunch of anti-Bible, anti-believing people in government. Well, just hold tight, don't turn your dial. There's more to come. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so glad that you've stayed with us for the last half of this broadcast. Now, we are on a really important subject today. Well, in fact, everything I'm bringing out is important in these broadcasts, and I thank God for it. But I believe this is affecting everyday life. This is our liberties at stake. I've been reading and commenting on an article by Robert McCurry, titled of the article is The Fatal Delusion of Trusting Political Salvation. And he quotes from many sources, Washington Times and many other sources. He quotes from different news outlets that are simply documenting the information, even quotes from Associated Press, quotes from the Washington Blade, and other media news magazines. He quotes from CNS News, from Chuck Baldwin. He quotes from the intelligence briefing of Robert Murray. He quotes from Mark Ellis, senior correspondent for Asset News Service, Worthy News. And as I must remind our listeners, just because I quote from these sources or quote from an article which quotes from these sources does not mean I consent to them or endorse them. If it's factual, I will use it. And that's what we need today. We need to hear the facts. The facts. And so I'll continue to make a commentary and analysis as I read this article, a very good article indeed. Now, if you don't agree with the article, you don't agree with the comments coming out of my mouth, and you ought to write us and let us know what you disagree with. If you agree with what I'm saying, you ought to write us and encourage us. And then you ought to do something about it. Write your congressman, your senator, write the President of the United States. They can be emailed. You can call them on the phone. You can mail them a letter. We need to let these people know we are not happy with our government. We're not happy with what's going on here. And so that, for the record, and I've stated this many times, just because I am demonstrating and reading about the fact that we should not give the homosexual agenda freedom to exercise a perverted lifestyle publicly in our society does not mean that I do not care for their eternal souls. I don't want them to go to hell any more than anybody else. But they got to get right with a holy God, just like an adulterer, a fornicator, a robber, a thief, a profane cursor. They got to get right with a holy God. Their sin is a gross sin. In fact, it's one of the few sins God classifies as an abomination in His sight. But nevertheless, I want them to get born again. Now, you might be a sodomite listening to this broadcast. I do not hate you. I wish to God you would come and get saved and have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. You know that your lifestyle is not good for you. You know in your heart that it's perverse and wicked. And the only way you're going to get cleansing is through the mercy of God and His shed blood. And that's my petition to you. I don't hate you. If I see you on the street and you were hurt, I'd help you up. If you were begging bread, I'd buy you some bread. Listen, I'm not against you. As far as a human being, I love your soul, and I want you to get right with a holy God. But that doesn't mean we need to consent to your wicked lifestyle and allow you to promote it in our society. No more than I would like to see abortion promoted in our society. Yet it is still legal in this country. And there are moral debates going on in this country about everything. Things that used to be simply unheard of and never would have been allowed just 50 years ago are blatantly tolerated now in our culture. I'm telling you that some of the reason is that we who know better are not saying enough and protesting about it. We're not doing enough. We're like lame ducks. We're apathetic. We're complacent. I'm telling you, it is our constitutional right, obligation, and duty to speak up for righteousness. That's right, righteousness. And that righteousness is based on Bible principles. You realize in Canada, as my understanding is correct, that it is against the law for somebody like me to get on the radio and display that I do not promote sodomy, that I'm against sodomy, that this is wickedness, that God hates sodomy, that God does not want sodomy, and that he condemns it in the Bible, and that it's wickedness, just as wicked as any other sin. Do you realize that it's coming to a day that in our free country, the United States of America, in which tens of thousands and millions of our soldiers have given their blood for the red, white, and blue of our flag, for the freedoms we enjoy? So some will come back and say, well, Dr. Freed, if you're talking about freedom and liberty, why not give the sodomites liberty to do what they want? Why not give the liberals a liberty to do what they want? I'll tell you why. Because these liberties in which we have were never designed to violate the moral fabric of our country based on the Bible. I don't know if I'll even get to finishing this article, but let me quote from some of our forefathers, the founding fathers of our Constitution. John Quincy Adams, 1767 to 1848. He was our sixth American president. From 1825 to 1829, you ought to read some of the history of our forefathers. Oh, I know they weren't perfect, and I know some of them even had slaves, and that's wrong, and that's wicked. But you have to understand that the enlightenment to freedom was just beginning to, if I could use this word, I was going to use the word evolve, but I don't like that word, so I'll just use the word develop. But this is what John Quincy Adams said. He said, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity, the Bible. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once a year. So great is my veneration of the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens to their country and respectable members of society. John Quincy Adams. This is not in any specific order. John Adams, 1735 to 1826, our second American president, from 1796 to 1800. He said the Bible is the best book in the world. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their own law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia! What a paradise this region would be! John Adams. And you have people out there telling us this country was not founded on the Bible and it's not a Christian country. Let me tell you something. You don't know our history. Thomas Jefferson, 1743 to 1826, our third American president from 1801 to 1809. He said, the Bible, and by the way, it was the old King James Bible, hallelujah. He said, the Bible makes the best people in the world. The Bible is the source of liberty. He said, my views are the results of a life of inquiry and reflection, and very different from the anti-Christian system imputed to me by those who know nothing of my opinions. To the corruptions of Christianity, I am indeed opposed, but not the genuine precepts of Jesus himself. I am a Christian in the only true sense in which he wished anyone to be, sincerely attached to his doctrines, the Bible, in preference to all others. I found him with the Bible in my hands. He who has been so often and so harshly accused of unbelief, he, in his hour of affliction, sought and found consolation in the sacred volume. Thomas Jefferson. And how about old Abe, Abraham Lincoln? Yeah, he wasn't perfect either. We're all sinners, you know. We're born sinners, and we need to be saved by the grace of God. And we all have, we're all growing. That's right. We don't know everything. You know, Abraham Lincoln, 1809 to 1865, 16th American president, from 1860 to 1865. He said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. And he wasn't talking about Allah. He wasn't talking about Buddha. He was talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, we have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to God that made us. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And by the way, he was not talking about any other Bible but the King James Bible. And he said, the Holy Scriptures, and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. I am profitably engaged in reading the Bible. Take all of this book upon reason that you can, and the balance by faith, and you will live and die a better man. But for this book, we could not know right from wrong. I believe the Bible is the best gift of God has ever given to man. The Bible is suited to men in all conditions of life and includes all the duties they owe to their Creator, to themselves, and to their fellow man. Abraham Lincoln said, I know that liberty is right, for Christ teaches it, and Christ is God. Hey, hallelujah, Abraham Lincoln, I appreciate what you said. So as you hear these great forefathers of our country, you can tell very clearly that the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, all of the documents of the founding of our country, yes, it was based on liberty, yes, but all of that was based on the Bible. So when our country goes against the Bible and the principles of the Scriptures, then we are undermining the authority of our Constitution. And Woodrow Wilson, 1856 to 1924, he was our 28th American president from 1902 to 1910. He said, the Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life. I am sorry for the men who do not read the Bible every day. You will know the Bible is the Word of God when you read it, for in it you will find the key to your own heart, your own happiness, and your success. I beg of you that you read it and find this out for yourselves. A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it's trying to do. America was born a Christian nation. Let me repeat that from the lips of Woodrow Wilson, the 28th American president of the United States of America. He said America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture. That's right, the Bible. A man, he said, has found himself when he has found his relation to the rest of the universe. And here is the book, the Bible, in which those relations are set forth. And of course, they knew and understood that salvation and eternal life and true happiness could only be found through Christ, who is the author of the Bible. Even Calvin Coolidge, 1872 to 1933, he was our 30th American president from 1923 to 1929. This is what he said. Listen up now. In this book of the Bible will be found the solution to all the problems of the world. The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings should cease to be practically universal in our country. How about that? Yes, indeed. Folks, today at this broadcast, Hope Israel Baptist Broadcast, I'm dedicating this time to our liberties, our religious liberty, our freedom of speech. But none of those liberties was ever to contradict the holy oracles of God. And for the English-speaking world, and for America specifically, it's the King James Bible. Dwight D. Eisenhower, 1890 to 1969. He was our 34th American president from 1953 to 1961. He said, the recognition of the Supreme Being is the first, most basic expression of Americanism. Without God, there could be no American form of government, nor American way of life. Now listen to Booker T. Washington, 1856 to 1915, American educator, born a slave. He said, I never leave my house without taking my Bible and sitting down and reading a chapter or two, and I have found out it pays. Why don't we give this man a holiday in his remembrance instead of Martin Luther King? Oh, I know you're going to say, but Martin Luther King gave us civil rights. No, he didn't give you civil rights. Civil rights was already in the Bill of Rights. It was up to our government to implement the heartbeat of our Constitution. And I'll tell you right now, our democracy as it is today still is not what it ought to be. I mean, really, even the forefathers still imagine more democracy than we're even experiencing today. There's still a lot of prejudice. There's still a lot of injustice being done. But as a country, we have developed. But what's happening is as we develop in giving more freedoms to our people, we are contradicting the foundations of the Bible. I am against slavery. I am against anything like that. And even our forefathers were in a contradiction of beliefs, because they believed in equal rights, they believed in equality of mankind, but they still had slaves. I mean, it's an oxymoron is what it is. But eventually, they started seeing the light. I'm going to tell you something. We still got a long ways to go. You say, Dr. Freed, you don't know anything about it. Yeah, I know a little bit about it. I know at the same time, they wouldn't let the blacks in the same bathroom with whites. On the same door, it said, blacks and Jews only. And then on the other door, it said, whites only. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't only the blacks they told to sit in the back of the buses. It was the Jews, too. But because most Jews are white-colored, they got away with sitting where they wanted to. Now, here's another great black American that we should make a holiday for. These men were godly men. Listen, George Washington Carver, 1864 to 1943. He was an American agricultural chemist, born a slave. Notice what he said about the Bible. The secret of my success, it is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, that's what this man of God said. And he was a great black American in our country. Why don't we make a special day for him? Instead of making a day for a communist sympathizer. Douglas MacArthur, 1880 to 1964, five-star American general, World War II and the Korean War. He said, never a night goes by, be I ever so tired, but I read the Word of God, the Bible, before I go to bed. One of the greatest, if not the greatest general in our country, said how important the Bible was in his life. So once you start taking away the Word of God, you start undermining the authority of our United States of America. That is our authority. You say the laws of our land are based on the Constitution. No, the laws of our land are based on the Bible because the Constitution was based on the Bible. The Declaration of Independence was based on the Bible. The Bill of Rights was based on the Bible. Folks, listen, our whole system is based on the Bible. And my premise is this, if we as a country would get back to the dictates of the Word of God, we could have done away with slavery long before it was done away with. A lot more progress could have been done. We wouldn't have all this affirmative action, all this stuff they're trying to do to balance things out. You don't need affirmative action. If you follow the Word of God, then there will be freedom and liberty, and everybody in the United States of America will have just as much rights as everybody else. But what's happening now is we're starting to have reverse discrimination. And that reverse discrimination is falling upon Bible-believing Christians who love God, who love the Bible, and who want the well-being for our country. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Lastly, I end with what George Washington said, first American president. He said, it's impossible. He said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God in the Bible. Almighty God, he said, I beseech thee, my sins, remove them from thy presence, as far as the east is from the west, and accept of me for the merits of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that when I come into thy temple and compass thine altar, my prayer may come before thee as incense, and as thou wouldest hear me calling upon thee in my prayer, so give me grace to hear thee calling on me in the Word, the Bible, for his sake, who laid down in the grave and rose again for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. George Washington, first American president.
Covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.